Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 21 this morning. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I hope everybody had a good 4th of July and realized the importance of what that day means to us. Brother Burles, did y'all have a good week at that start? Good, good. I was praying for you and saw it, heard it, and sorry I didn't make it there, but good, good. That's down, you know, he runs the museum down there right by the airport, and if you need to go down there, and it does great honor for the folks that serve our country now and have, and it's a great place, and they've started a new program, and so be sure to go there. Let's stand to our feet this morning, if you're able to. John chapter 21, that's okay. If you can't, that's fine. John chapter 21, look at verse 1 if you would. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? Have you any food? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish laid on thereon, and bread. And Jesus saying to them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples does ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth him, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. We'll stop reading that rather lengthy passage, but I think it'll help as I progress through the message this morning. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, please bless us today. Holy Spirit, I need your power. I need your help. I need clarity of mind. I need to say what I should and not say what I shouldn't. I need, Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would help those that listen this morning, that you would fill them with thy Holy Spirit. If they're not saved, that you would convict them through the Holy Spirit that they need to be saved, so that they can hear what you have for them from the preaching of the Word of God this morning. And Father, we'll give you the praise and honor for all that's done. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. This is a story about Peter. Jesus had already been resurrected. He was in his resurrected body, and he hadn't been seen for a little bit. And Peter gets a little, as Peter always seems to be, a little impatient, and he says, I'm going fishing. I've heard preachers say that means he's going back to the fishing business. It may be. Or maybe just he was just going to go do his thing and enjoy a little time fishing. But they had a lot of nets. I'm not sure, but that's not the purpose of the message this morning. What I do know is Peter didn't need to really be doing that. So Jesus comes and makes an appearance on the shoreline, which we read right there. And what the problem was, did you notice that when Jesus went fishing, he didn't take just himself and went. He took other disciples. John was mentioned in it, and others. You know, every time Jesus talked to Peter after Peter denied him the night of the crucifixion, did you know he always spoke to him in threes? The three times he denied him, he spoke to him in threes. I didn't finish reading, but he asked him three times, "Lovest thou me?" I want to speak to you this morning about this question that has been with me for weeks now, which Jesus asked Peter. Look at verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Lovest thou me more than these? Do you know that's a statement that could be asked every one of us today? But it was asked Peter. And it seems to be that when he asked Peter this question, he was seems to mean the fish. Lovest thou me more than these? These were the fish. And it could have been his entertainment, his enjoyment, what he got a pleasure out of doing. It could also mean his livelihood, what he got and what he did for a job. He says to Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" We also, before we can love him like Peter did, we've got to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We must become a child of God. See, Peter had become a child of God. We know from a testimonial statement that Peter had that he had trusted Christ. Because in Matthew 16:16, when Jesus asked Peter, "Who say men that I am?" he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." See, Peter was already saved. It could have been Mark 3:16 when he got saved. I'm not sure, because Jesus came to Peter and said, "Thou name is Simon. Now your name is going to be called Peter. Because therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." And there's always a change when a person gets saved. Peter's change. It could have been John 6:68 when Peter said to Jesus, "What should I do? Thou hast the words of eternal life." See, he knew Jesus was how he was to have eternal life. I wonder, my friend, are you sitting here today and do you know that Jesus has the words of eternal life? Do you know that you will live forever somewhere, whether it's eternal death or it's eternal life? The choice is yours, by the way. You must make that choice before you die physically the first time. You must trust Jesus that He died to pay your penalty for your sin so that we don't have to pay our penalty in eternity. But Peter had been saved, but he put some things before his love of Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "Lovest thou me more than these?" You know, he asked us, I think all of us, that question today. Lovest thou me more than anything else? Ask yourself that question this morning. Do you love Him more than anything else in this world? And by the way, it could be anything that you make a God, little g, in the place of God, capital G. That is what you love, what you spend time on, what you spend your money on. That's your God. Can I get an amen on that? That's the truth. That is where our gods are in this day and age. It could be your home. Listen, I love home. It should be a little heaven on earth. But you know what? Home is not where you're supposed to be when the house of God is meeting together. It ought to be in church. Some people put their home, and what does that mean? That means their jobs to take care of it and pay for it, and they'll miss church. instead of putting their God. Listen to me closely this morning. You'll put your monetary, lovest thou me, look what it says, me more than these things. It's okay to love the home. It's okay to love things. But do we love Jesus? Do we love God more than those things? If we love Him more than these things, Jesus said, could be a spouse, could be your family, it could be children. I'm amazed it could be grandchildren. Jesus asked us this morning, lovest thou me more than these? It's what you put your time and effort in, ladies and gentlemen. Do you spend more time on your job, your work? And I understand the job is usually 40. Many of our men in this church work a lot more than 40 hours a week. And may I say, they come to church, they come to Sunday school, they work in their ministries. I don't want to hear another person say, well, Sunday's a day of rest. And there are men that come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and they've given 5 days to pay the rent, and yet they'll still come to church. I don't want to hear that. It may be your occupation. It may be the pleasures of this world that it has to offer. It may be, you know what? You may be your own little God. Could be girlfriends, friends. It could be cars. It could be, watch out, golf. Jesus asked the question to me, to Peter, and to you this morning. Lovest thou me more than these? Do you love or spend more time with the other things than you do with Him? Do you put other things before Him? You must be honest about that question, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to examine ourselves and say, where are my efforts put? Is it in Jesus' church that He started? Is it in God and serving God and living for God? Or is it for getting that car fixed up or that golf game or those kids, grandkids? Lovest thou me more than these? How do you love Him this morning? Can I give you a few ideas this morning quickly? Just a few, three ideas how to love Him more and love Him right. Number one, spend time with Him. You want to love God, then spend time with Him. He's written us a book. And He's given us a book so that we can know Him. Ladies and gentlemen, the more you read in here about Him, the more you become like Him. The trouble is, we know more, we become more like the world and the worldly things around us because we're spending more time with other people, other things in this world than with Him. If you get to know Him, you'll become like Him. You say, oh, you'll be perfect. No, I didn't say that. We live in a body that is a sinful body. And not until we get rid of this body, and by the way, He's given us the ability to get rid of this body when we get saved. We'll get rid of it when He comes back or we die and go to heaven. We'll get a new body, ladies and gentlemen, and there's no more sin in that body. And we then can be perfect. But until then, we're not. So that's why we need to know Him. See, you know what? I've said it on Wednesday night. A lot of you weren't here, but I'm going to repeat it this morning because I think it was a point that God gave me, and I think it was a very important point. Most people don't really know God. See, we know God, K-N-O, the way the world knows God. Basically, what am I saying? It is like, oh, yeah, I know Him. I've seen Him on TV. I was trying to think, what's the Redding's mayor's name? What's her name? Huh? Missy, what's her? McCarr, something like that. Okay, I was trying to think of it this morning, so I had to go to Sheriff Pacheco. and use it as illustration in my Sunday school class. You know, most of us know God just like we know Sheriff Pacheco, unless you're close friends with him maybe in the room, but most of us would say, yeah, I know God. But see, that's not the know that the Bible wants us to know. In Philippians 3:10, it says, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. See, we're supposed to know God. What does that mean? It's not, well, He listened to me, if this is the way most of us see it. Well, God knows me. Yeah, but it's not important for God to know you. He already knows you. I guarantee you that. He knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows everything about you. He knows what you do, what you say, what you think. He knows. And by the way, for a Christian, He is keeping a record of what's good and what's bad. We're supposed to know Him, that I might know Him. See, that's the key. That's what separates good Christianity. That we know Him. What does that mean? See, that means we understand why God is dealing with us and the things that happens in our life instead of saying, throwing our hands up and saying, I just don't understand. See, that word know in the Bible that I just quoted to you, that is an intimacy know. That's like, matter of fact, it's even used in the husband-wife relationship of a marriage. It's somebody that knows. See, my wife and I, we can finish each other's sentences all the time. And that's what you do when you get older. You end up finishing thoughts and say, amen. Can I get an amen from the older married couples out there? And you bossy women that won't let you finish saying what their husband's saying. Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in. Listen to me. Listen to me. You know what I mean, though. And most of the time, she's telling us what we should be saying, so we don't say, okay, but that's another, I won't get on us anymore here. See, we're to know God. We're to know Him. He knows us. That's covered. But do you know Him? See, the more you get to know Him, the more time you spend with Him. This book is God. It's the mind of God. It's all about God. How much did you learn about God and get to know Him this week? Oh, but Brother Evans, you got to understand things. Yeah, I know I had a little grandchild. I'm tired and sleepy, but I don't sleep through church. As I preached several weeks ago, I have sleep apnea. And before I was diagnosed with it, I could fall. You put me on the couch in a movie, boom, I'm a goner. But it never once did I fall asleep in a church service. So I can't understand. I just don't understand that if you just go to sleep. You know what I think? I think you're under conviction. You don't want to hear what goes on. You say, well, that's what you think. Okay, that's what I think. But I know something. I have sleep apnea. I'm diagnosed with sleep apnea. I wear a machine at night. We need to know Him. Why? We love Him, right? You know what love is, don't you? Love is putting the needs of others first. Did you know? Yes, God is love, but herein is love. Not that we first loved God, but that He loved us. That's a well-documented fact. God is love. But did you know Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love is reciprocal. Love is a two-way street. I love my wife whether or not she's going to love me. Now, I hope she loves me, but she loves me, I hope. But whether she loves me or not, I committed to love her. And I know her. We need to know one another. We need to know God as well as we know one another, ladies and gentlemen. Instead of this, oh yeah, I know who He is. I've read about Him in the book. Let me tell you something. If we go through life with throwing our hands up and saying, why are these things happening? I wonder sometimes, and there are times, Job is an example of he basically didn't know what all of it was all about. But did you know Job, God came to Job and spoke to him and chewed him out because of the things that Job was saying? Said, did you put any of those stars out there, bud? Listen to me. He knew God, and God came to him. Though maybe God didn't give him all the specifics, but most of us are Jonahs, and we think we're Jobs. God, we need to know God. The more you know Him, the more you know God. How much time did you spend in the book? Put away those devotional books. Get in the real book. I don't want to know what so-and-so wrote and what they think about the Bible. I want to know what God says. Get the book. How much time did you spend each day, every morning, reading the Bible? Well, my day's just so... Listen to me. If you think God dismisses your disobedience and not doing what God says because of your circumstances, then you really don't know God. That's a tough statement, but I'm back at 100%. Well, you've got to understand. Well, maybe I got to understand, but God doesn't need to. He's told us what to do. Do you know God? You want to know God? Then you'll get to love God like you should. Can I give you a second thing? Second thing. How do we love God better? Introduce Him. You know He's always there, but He hides within the shadows and won't come out unless I introduce Him. Did you know nobody knows about my God unless I introduce Him? You remember the story of the disciples on the lake, Lake Tiberias, whatever that lake's called. I can't think of the other name. Sea of Galilee. And he was walking on the water. It was a storm. And he was walking by them. And you know, the Bible makes this phrase, statement. He would have passed by them. But they called out. Is that Jesus? Or is that Casper the ghost? Story is told by D.L. Moody about a doctor, a physician, and a dying businessman. The dying businessman had the doctor come to his establishment. He didn't know he was dying at the time, saw the doctor come in, and the doctor had the bad news to tell him that what he had, he was going to die from it. He listened to the doctor explain to him that he was going to die shortly from his disease. And he made this statement to the physician, to the doctor: how long have you known these things? How long have you known them? You've known them, these things? And he told him that he had been a Christian since the early years of his life. He said, why haven't you told me about Jesus before now? My question is, lovest thou me before more than these things? Jesus is asking us. You've got to know, is He more important than anything or anyone around you? Do you introduce Him more? Or do you just let Him stay in the shadows and hide? Have you ever been with somebody and you're with them and then you're in the mall or you're somewhere in town and the person you're with meets somebody else they know and they say, hey, how you doing? And they talk for a few minutes and then they leave. Don't you kind of wonder, why didn't they introduce me? Well, now, if you're with me, it's because I forgot your name and their name. So don't get offended if you're with me and I don't introduce you. No, I just humble myself and say, man, I can't. And usually y'all are so good, you finish my statement so you can help me and remind me. But that's the way Jesus feels. You meet people you know, you talk to people you know, and you never introduce Jesus. You want to love Him more than the things around us? Then introduce Him, ladies and gentlemen. Can I give you the third and last? Here we go. And that's worship Him. Do you know the word worship has several meanings, but in the New Testament, it means to kiss toward, and it also means to serve Him. You know what that means is? That means what you do, where you go, what you say. Do you worship Him in your actions? Do the places you go to and the places you attend, do they honor the God of heaven? Let me ask you this question this morning. Do you love Him more than these things? Go to places that exalt Him and lift Him up. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. Ladies and gentlemen, our activities, our lives are spent in this world and worldly things, and then we wonder why we don't love God more than we do, because we're just encompassed in this world and we become worldly around this world, and then we think it's a light thing just to miss church. We ought to be in church every time the door is open. It ought to be spiritual things in your home. It ought to be spiritual music playing on your radio. It ought to be spiritual songs in your car radio. It ought to be things about God. You ought to be worshiping, kissing toward Him, honor Him, serve Him. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll learn to love Him more. You know Lot, don't you? The statement about Lot, you know, Abraham's nephew, it said he vexed day by day, he vexed his righteous soul. Why? He sat in the gate of authority in Sodom. And day by day, he became more and more like them. He was saved, but he picked up their language, their attitude, and their lifestyle. And ladies and gentlemen, he lost his wife and terrible other things that happened with his children. Do you enjoy? Let me ask you this question. Do you enjoy going to places that talk about Him and lift Him up and that honor Him? Or would you rather be somewhere else? He's asking us today, lovest thou Me more than these? Do you love Him? Is He more than a creed? Is He more than an idea? A statue? Is He a real live person? Have you met Him this morning? Do you know Him? In New York City many years ago lived a little lady. She was a scrub woman. She was a, if you would, a maid. I guess we don't use that word now politically. But she was known as Sophie the Scrub Woman. She loved the Lord, and she never, never missed an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. One day she's standing out in front, and this shows you how old this illustration is. You can't even do this, but one day she was out in front of a store. It happened to be one of those stores that had a wooden Indian standing out in front of it. You know what I'm talking about. It used to be the tobacco shop things, I think it was mostly where they were. And she was sitting there telling this wooden Indian about Jesus. A nominal Christian standing nearby joshed her and said, "Sophie, don't you know you're talking to a wooden Indian?" She said, "No, I didn't know. My eyesight is very bad." But she said to this Christian, talking to a wooden Indian about Christ is not as bad as being a wooden Christian and never talking to anybody about the Lord. You talk about the weather and crops and corn and wheat. You speak with friends and neighbors that pass along the street. You call yourself a Christian and you like the gospel plan. Then why not speak for Jesus and witness where you can? Jesus asked Peter, but I believe Jesus is asking us in this room this morning, lovest thou Me more than these?